Over a number of months, Sri Lanka fell into turmoil from massive national protests calling for change from decades-long corrupt governance from two dominant leaders. The whole country grounded to a halt, with severe shortages of food, fuel, and essential goods, which triggered the collapse of public order and its economy.
Even before MPs gathered, Ranil Wickremesinghe was the target of fierce protests. Demonstrators are determined to oust him, like his ally, President Gotabaya Rajapaksa, who fled the country and resigned last week. In Parliament, MPs voted in a secret ballot to decide who'll serve the remainder of Rajapaksa's term, which ends next year.
Ranil Wickremesinghe Mathithuma.
In the end, Wickremesinghe, as leader of the ruling party, had the numbers to win. Despite a rival.
The latest report there from the ABC, when the unpopular Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe became the new president of Sri Lanka, announced just before Razor's Edge went to air. A visiting Sri Lankan Australian scholar and consultant, Kalinga Senivaratne from the South Pacific, now speaks out about what's really behind the breakdown in his homeland. He hails from Sydney's western suburbs and has taken on roles as journalist, professor, radio broadcaster, television documentary maker, media analyst, and international communications specialist while working in Fiji, Papua New Guinea, and Thailand. He is the author of the book, Myth of Free Media and Fake News in the Post-Truth Era, in 2019, among many that he's already written, and former lecturer at the University of Technology, Sydney. Here on a visit, he recently was the head of ASEAN Media Information and Communications Centre, AMIC, in Singapore, and consultant for the University of South Pacific in Fiji. Kalinga Senivaratne was also a former host presenter for Razor's Edge in the 1980s when it won the UN Media Peace Awards and UNESCO acclaim. In a chat with me, he explains why he disagrees with the Western media's portrayal of Sri Lanka's economic collapse as a Chinese debt trap.
In my homeland, Sri Lanka, at the moment, last few months, they're asking for systems change rather than a change of a leader. I think a lot of people, especially the younger generation now, are fed up of this corruption in public places, especially in politics. Yeah. When it started a few months ago, the international media said this is a Chinese debt trap, which was a lie. Sri Lanka's exposure to Chinese debts is only 10%. Only 10% of Sri Lanka's debts are to China. 11% is to Japan. And 47% is to hedge funds, which where Sri Lanka has borrowed on very high commercial terms. And that's where the problem is. So if it is a debt trap, it's a Western debt trap, not a Chinese debt. And I think it is a Western debt trap. Because what happened a few months before all this started, the rating agencies put down Sri Lanka's ratings. And then it was more difficult to borrow money, and you had to borrow at a higher rate. And that's the problem. That's exactly the problem. Now, IMF wants to come in. And by putting the blame on China, because both China and India at the moment are willing to help. And in fact, just 2 days ago, I was reading that the Sri Lankan ambassador in China gave some figures where China could help in certain ways, and India has also offered, because both those countries have money now. And it is more than what IMF could offer as a so-called bailout, where it's a typical destabilization campaign.
Mr. Senivaratne points to endorsements from the West for both leaders on specific hidden agendas.
The Rajapaksas are not trusted and liked by the West because they are pro-China. And also, it goes back to 2009 when Sri Lankan armed forces defeated Tamil Tigers on the military field. And Sri Lanka, the Rajapaksas, President Gotabaya was the defense secretary, brother was the president, they ignored calls by the West for a ceasefire, basically to take the LTTE leadership away to Norway or whatever, and they crushed them. And then, since then, there's been a campaign saying 40,000 dead, even they haven't been able to give 40 names.
On the other hand, there is a long-held arms struggle by the rebel Tamil Tigers, who were supportive themselves on the side of the Rajapaksa's clan.
And there's a very strong Tamil diaspora, and they are expert in their propaganda. They're masters of propaganda. And they have been able to convince the media about these Rajapaksas. And then there was an attempt in 2015, in fact, Rajapaksa's overthrown, where Western-funded NGOs were instrumental in campaigning among the youth to change their vote, saying the Rajapaksas are corrupt. And for the first time, 2015 elections, the youth vote was very high. And that was what changed governments. And the new government which came in, which was led by Ranil Wickremesinghe, who is now the acting president, he's the real Western puppet. Westerners trust him. They want him. They are, and they have been supporting him for decades. And he's a very pro-Western politician. So he came to power, grabbed power, and through a slogan called good governance. It's within 2 years, that government was involved in the biggest scam in Sri Lanka, financial scam in Sri Lanka, basically robbed the central bank. And that is one of the reasons for today's problem, economic problem. And that backfired on them. For the Rajapaksas to come back, then there was the 2019 Easter Sunday bombing by so-called Islamic terrorists. Now, I know people, I know Buddhist monks, who were, when the bombing happens, they were adamant that the Sinhalese Buddhists and also the Catholic Cardinal Malcolm Ranjit were openly said, do not attack Muslims. What this attack is about is to make Sri Lanka a failed state so that Western peacekeeping forces could come in. And the Catholics and the Buddhists were able to convince the Sri Lankan people not to attack Muslims and don't create that situation. It led to Rajapaksa coming to power on a national security platform.
But to make matters worse, having Wickremesinghe as president once more will only reignite massive protests from the public against the very unpopular leader. Kalinga Sinivaratne again.
Now, what is happening today again is now Ranil Wickremesinghe, he lost his own seat in the 2019 elections. His party lost all the seats, and it's the biggest and the oldest political party. And he has no people's mandate. Yeah. They are to become president. So now inside parliament, there's going to be a vote, but there's a lot of dealing being done. But the West would like Ranil Wickremesinghe to be the acting president so that they can control the Sri Lankan government. Then other issue is, I'm still not sure where China exactly stands, because China don't talk much. So you don't know exactly where China stands at the moment. But Chinese factor also will be very important in coming months, because China has huge financial stakes in Sri Lanka. Just a few months ago, that the bridge connecting Port City, it's a reclaimed land in Colombo, just opposite the presidential office, which is they are building with the Sri Lankan government, building a financial hub which would compete with Dubai and Singapore in the future. And it's mainly Chinese investments. Then in the south, there's the Hambantota port, which was given a 99-year lease to the Chinese. And they are developing that into a major maritime hub in the region. So there's two major projects. Of course, the Indians and the West says that Hambantota port, Chinese wants to turn it into a naval base. There's nothing to say that they have never said that they want a naval base. And the Sri Lankan government has made it clear many times to India that we are not giving any naval base to anyone here. So it is a geopolitical battle, which is camouflaged as an economic issue. As a Sri Lankan, I'm quite worried about what's happening there, because one thing, if Wickremesinghe managed to get parliament to endorse him, he could rule with the army with iron fist, like what Marcos did in the 80s.
Well, Marcos is back.
Yeah. And the other alternative is there could be more protest, because they want him, those protesters don't want him either, then Sri Lanka could become what is called a failed state and open for military intervention.
Mr. Senavaratne believes the West plays a role in preventing the spread of corruption outside Sri Lanka. Many of the hidden profit from Sri Lankan business ends up in Australian bank accounts.
Corruption is so high in Sri Lankan politics. It is everywhere you find. But that corruption needs long period to clear up, and also honest politicians. Most of the parliament are not honest. They come there to make money, not to serve the people. But the other point also we need to realize, the international media don't look at it. Why are people, the corrupt money very often is parked in the West. They put in the banks, in the stock markets, send their children for education. The families go for medical attention and all that. So a lot of that money is parked in West. And if the Western governments are so worried about corruption, they can put clamps on, they can ask questions. Even Australia allows people with 5 million to come in as business migrants, basically with no questions asked. When the Xi Jinping government asked for the names of those who came as business migrants, Abbott's government at the time said, no, we can't give that information because there's privacy laws in Australia. So is Australia protecting money launderers? Okay, the corrupt. So we should be asking that question, because if action is taken from the other end, if these people have nowhere to hide the money, that could be half the problem solved.
Author and journalist Kalinga Senavaratne there, who hails from Western Sydney, here on a visit and currently working in Fiji as consultant for the University of the South Pacific.